You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
It's up to me to be the very best I can be. And it's up to you.
Show. The Up to Me Magazine Show is your inspirational go-to platform for behind the scenes with industry professionals and talent in Christian entertainment and successful small businesses. Join us today as our guests will be award-winning lighting designer and technical director, Antoinette Tony Tyne. I'm your host, Gabby G, because I was born with the gift of gab, a trait that each of my friends and family can all attest to. So please join me in my virtual Gabby G Cafe and be inspired along with me as I introduce to you each morning another fabulous guest to inspire and educate you. Each week, I will welcome our guest and invite you to join me in conversations on diverse topics that relate to our journeys in awakening and living in our life purpose. I'm blessed and humbled to be a part of this Christ-led team, and I do not take this opportunity to serve as your host for granted. Here at Up to Me Magazine, we love to encourage and empower each other to be the best that we can be. So this program is truly meant to be a platform of voices to be heard and expressed in a safe and non-judgmental environment. As a reminder, Up to Me Radio can be found on iHeartRadio, Alexa, Google Play Music, as well as Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. Join our nearly 2 million listeners in uploading any one of these apps on your mobile or Android devices or any of your favorite podcast apps. On social media, Up to Me Radio can also be found on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. Whether you are a new listener this season or a loyal present listener to this program, you now have the ability to be a subscriber to the Up to Me Magazine show. Simply go to our website at www.up2meradio.com and click on the show image to check out our latest events, hot topics, tips, promotional giveaways, and more. Well, every category of the entertainment industry has their unsung heroes. Makeup artists, script writers, costume designers, cameramen, just to name a few. So I'm very proud and honored to introduce to you this morning another award-winning unsung hero of the theater and stage as my first guest of my new series entitled Entertainment Reimagined. My guest is an award-winning lighting designer, programmer, stage electrician, board operator, and stage and production manager who holds a BS degree in speech and drama from Hampton University. She is currently the technical and lighting director for the Mount Vernon Gifted and Talented Performing Arts Magnet School in Mount Vernon, New York, and the recipient of the Outstanding Achievement in Lighting Design Award from the 2017 National Black Theater Festival. She is also a two-time Aldelco Award winner for lighting design in 2015 for Dutchman and in 2019 for Looking for Leroy, just to name a few. Her gifts in lighting design have taken her across the country and on national and international tours. She has worked closely with jazz legends such as Dizzy Gillespie, Max Roach, Buddy Rich, Betty Carter, Ray Barreto, and the Count Basie Orchestra, please help give me a very warm virtual welcome to Miss Antoinette Tony Tynes. Tony, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Well, wow, what a life you lead. We have so much to talk about this morning. I just would like to begin by introducing you to our listeners. I know how fabulous you are. I just want to introduce you to our audience so that they can learn how fabulous you are, too. So I want to start by talking about your early background. You have a degree in drama and speech. Did you set out to be an actress?
Speech and drama is what they call the, you know, the curriculum. So basically, it's not necessarily speech, but it was drama. So, you know, the typical drama courses, theater courses, you know, theater history. We take acting courses, directing, things like that. You know, there is speech classes for, you know, to learn how to, you know, project and, you know, speak well, you know. But it wasn't necessarily speech per se, like anything to do with
public speaking.
Yeah. So they just called it that, you know, don't know why, but speech and drama is what it is.
Did you set out to be an actress or
a dancer? That's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a dancer. So there was a lot of things that I've done if it required performing artists. So I did a lot of auditioning for plays while I was in school at Hampton, and I was in a few, and I always had a dancing role or a background role where I was moving and such, you know. So I was better moving than necessarily standing and speaking, that type of thing. Yeah. So,
tell us why you love the theater, and what made you want to choose a career in the technical arts? Because that certainly keeps you moving behind the scenes, doesn't it?
I love the theater because it's a truly a form of expression where, you know, where you have the freedom to feel and express and to tell stories and to, you know, invoke emotion and really get people to feel and, you know, think, you know, to invoke, you know, thinking and thought and, you know, have people really think about the, you know, the world that we live in, you know. So that's why I love the theater.
And I'd imagine that those skill sets are pretty pertinent to what you do as a technical director. Is that correct?
Well, a technical director technically, literally, means you're just, you're kind of like in a supervisory role where you oversee all the technical aspects of a particular project. So where that involves not just lighting, sound, audio, the set, costumes, and things like that. As long as everything is running in sync, running in particular order, and there's always a timeline, and the technical director makes sure everything runs in order, everybody has what they need, that so we can get the show up in a particular time period. Yeah.
So I have a question about that,
because
you have quite a range of skill sets there. How does that skill set pertain to your lighting designer role, or does that skill and is that a separate skill? I guess I'm asking you.
Sometimes they
I know
overlap.
You're a lighting. They
yeah,
do.
They okay. They overlap because you can find technical directors who have. Specific emphasis in certain things. Like, most of the time you'll find a technical director who is a carpenter or a set designer more
really?
So than a lighting person or a sound person, you know. So, because a lot of times the technical director could be not just for that particular project, but could be a technical director for a particular venue. That means they really have to know the ins and out of a particular venue. So that means when they come in into the space to prepare to do a show, they need to have to know everything they need to know about that particular space. So that technical director gives it information, and they become the go-to person in that particular venue. So they are still in a kind of supervisory role where they have all the answers, so to speak.
So you're the go-to person.
I would be the go-to person, yeah. That's not a particular place for a lot of people to be. Some people don't want to be the go-to person, you know.
Exactly. It definitely is a significant skill set that you need to be able to run. That's pretty much running the whole production behind the scenes. That's a lot of responsibility right there. I'm so proud of you for that. How did you choose a career in that, or did you happen upon it?
I had a professor in college who really encouraged me. I had a conflict of whether or not to be a dancer or to be, you know, somebody who's, you know, in front of the camera, behind the camera, or you know, behind the scenes or on stage. You know, there was a time where I had dancing responsibility, and then I had a theater responsibility, and they conflicted each other. So I kind of had to choose.
Wow.
But I had a professor who kind of encouraged me to go into, like, the technical aspect and the lighting aspect, and therefore there wasn't, like, a lot of women doing it. And so that's what really got me to say, this is something I probably could, you know, kind of have breakdowns and barriers, have some breakthroughs, you know, being the first woman to do this or to do that, you know, that kind of, like, wired me kind of.
Well, I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
So you're a trailblazer in the technical world, right?
I would say I'm in the room, so to speak. I'm in the room with other trailblazers. So yeah, I'll share that.
I think you're pretty amazing. So before the show, we were just talking. So I just wanted to let everybody know how long you've been in this business, though. I mean, this is pretty amazing to me. So you've been in the business since, you said, 1981?
Yes. That's when I returned to New York from college, yeah, 1981, and got my first job. And I really thought I was something then, you know. And it kind of like, I can say, I don't like to use the word lucky, but I was fortunate enough to be in the right place at the right time during certain situations where I found a job and, you know, people liked me. So they, you know, say, oh, would you like to work on this project? Oh, and then the next project, you know, and over again. And that was really fortunate to me because, you know, you really don't think sometimes you work hard to find work, and sometimes work was just there for me. So that was, I just credit that to be, you know, divine invention, I guess you want to say. That
sure.
I was just fortunate to be in the right place at that time.
But also, don't sell yourself short in that, because the Lord will set us up like that, but you have to have the skill set, the drive, the work.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, of course, if I didn't know what I was doing, I guess they may not have liked me that much, you know.
Well, I'm just saying there's a learning curve there, but and that's to be expected when you first, you know, just graduate from high school or from college. And I think they expect that. But, you know, you have to have a pretty strong work ethic to continue to work.
Yes.
And to have the skill set and the talent.
Absolutely.
and the people skills and the technical skills.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because it is not easy. I can say, and I know we talked about this before, but I ran lighting for a show when I was 17 years old. It was a last-minute thing. I did work kindred spirits with the theater because theater is my background as well. And if I didn't make a show, I'd audition. If I didn't get in the show, then I wanted to be a part of the production as much as I could. And so I would do stage managing, ushering, lighting, whatever it could, makeup, props. And so one time I got a last-minute request at a community theater for their lighting person dropped out, so I slid in that. It was very stressful, let me tell you what. And one evening, I think it was the first evening of the show, I messed up a little bit. I missed my cue by a couple of seconds. And I heard about that at the end of the show. And something I just want to point out to our listeners, when you're working a technical show like this, it is, this is why I call you an unsung hero, because you really do, what you do for a living, Tony, really does add to the theater goers' experience. But they don't, I don't think they understand that, because all the actors and actresses get all the glory, you know, but your lighting, the timing of the lighting, where the lighting is, when you bring it up, when you bring it down, according to the music cue, if it's a musical number or a musical show or a play, there's a lot that goes into the experience for the theater goer from the stage. And for you to be able to execute what you do and do it well and in a timely fashion adds to the experience of the play or the show that you're performing for. So to know that you have won awards, and we'll get into that in a second. You've won several awards for your work. So there is a level of, and you've been nominated for countless others too, I should add, but the skill sets and the work ethic qualifies, what skill sets and work ethic qualifies as excellence in your field, and what have you learned along the way for that?
Well, first let me say, when I first graduated from college and then I came on to the scene, it's like everything that I thought I knew or that I did learn in college, just forget it, forget out the window. The real learning began right then.
Wow.
You know?
On the job training.
I mean, because you are on the job and you were there, and it was kind of like no time for anything else. You were on it, and you have to be focused and there at that time. So a lot of things I did learn on the job, you know, hands on. Which, you know, it did, I can't say that my college experience was, you know, for naught. It was definitely, I learned a lot of this, you know, theatrically about, you know, about the theater itself and playwrights and the history and everything like that. But as far as the technical skills and things like that, I really developed that really fully on, hands-on and on the scene, right, when I was doing the shows, you know, and like that. So to develop a particular skill set, you just really have to keep doing it. You know, you find yourself someone to shadow or, you know.
Mentor you through.
You like somebody, and you kind of open your eyes. You keep your eyes open, eyes and ears open, and you're kind of like observing. You're observing, seeing what people do, what they don't do. You know, you watch people make mistakes, and you go, "Oh, okay, I hope I will never do that." But it's really on the job. You're learning things on the job, and you ask the right questions, and you know you have the right people around you who you basically can learn from or can learn from you, you know? So you develop a particular skill set basically by actually doing it, you know, live.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the more you do it, then the more experience you have doing it. So the next time you say, oh, last time I did it this way, so let's do it this way. And then you also find that you do it, you can still do it differently and get the same result, you know.
Wow.
On what you want to do. So yeah, it's a whole new perspective than, you know, in the classroom, learning things in the classroom, because you were like on the job right there live. This is where it is right now, you know. Your life.
Well, it's practical experience
right
then.
Yeah.
You need both. You need the learned and you need the practical experience. But did you find that people you worked with were forgiving of that? That you were learning,
yes,
as you went along? They,
yeah,
were?
I would say yes. There were people who were definitely forgiving, definitely supported me, you know.
Excellent.
And those are the people you keep around you, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep around you. Yeah.
I have a question about how that works, because you don't work for a production company, do you, or a particular promoter? each time, or?
I have worked for particular people that I've worked for, you know, consistently and over again, or seasonally. And then there's, you work for people once and you might not ever see them again. Or, you know, 10 years later, you might run into them. In this theater world, a very small world. And that's why when you run into somebody, you know, and it's a good experience, they remember that you might see them again. They remember. And, you know, and if it was not a good experience, they kind of remember that, too. So it's like, it's a small world, you know. You never want to be negative or talk negative about, because you don't know. You will run into that person again, or they know somebody else who knows somebody else who knows somebody else. That's how this business works.
So your reputation precedes you, whether it's good or bad or not.
Absolutely.
And that's how you get work, because you're
a
freelancer.
Yes, I get work. Yes.
You're a freelancer, right?
Yes, I am.
See, that's and to be successful in that business and be award-winning as a freelance technical
director. It's difficult.
It is, yes.
I know plenty of people who tried it and kind of like given up because they might not have had the same type of, experience or same advantage or same opportunities, you know. And so for them, and their life might be different, you know. I don't have any children, so it's not like I had to, you know, feed anybody other than myself sometimes, you know.
Right.
So some people have different priorities, you know. And it depends on what your priority is. It's what you really have to do in your life.
So it's not like an actor or actress where they audition for a show. Really, you're auditioning by your level of competency, I guess, in the technical work that you do. So that just, I think that says a whole lot about you. I think you're amazing. And also, I wanted to ask you, kind of a segue into that, you've worked with a lot of amazing legends. What was it like to work with Dizzy Gillespie and Betty Carter and the Count Basie Orchestra? Oh my goodness. Do you have any
Those are experiences that I will never forget. You know, I love working with musicians. I was married to a musician, so I definitely was in that whole world too, being in the jazz world, being around musicians, you know, and the music, and being able to work the shows and walk up to Dizzy Gillespie and say, hello, sir, you know, you don't know what to say, you know, so you're polite, and you ask them what they need, anything special that they would like, you know, as far as how they want to look on stage, things like that, you know, and sometimes they are, you know, very cordial, very professional, straightforward, and some just want to, regular people, fool around, like Dizzy Gillespie, he pinched my cheeks, you know, and,
that's
you know,
wonderful.
Yes. So and it's you know, it's in awe. I can't say I'm starstruck, you know, they're normal people, but I give them the respect that they deserve as a artist. And that's what I do to all artists, you know. I give them the respect as an artist.
And so that I think that says a lot about your work ethic and really we just treat each other with respect, but you're right, you know, they are people like everybody else, but they do need their due respect, and you honor them for their accomplishments, and that's pretty amazing, though. I mean, how fun is that? I imagine you have a fun life.
I think I had some of the best fun I've had when I was...
I can imagine.
I did, it's like a city tour with the Count Basie Orchestra. We did just around New York City, we went to... different venues, colleges and stuff like that around the city and stuff. That was big fun hanging out with those guys. And then, you know, historically, this, you know, it wasn't, Count Basie wasn't there, but the Count Basie Orchestra still lives. And
they're amazing.
Just to be in the room, I like to use that a lot, is just amazing enough, you know, so you can say, I was there. You know, I was there when this happened. I was there.
Do you have a lot of photos? Do you think to take pictures with them or photo
opportunities? During this time, early, this is like before cell phones.
Yeah,
so
right,
it's like any pictures I might have, it's like it would be like random. Somebody else might have taken them or something.
Yeah, because I don't know. I guess there's a fine line between asking them for photos that can be unprofessional at times, you know. But I just was curious because can you imagine being able to have pictures of you with all these amazing legends?
I mean, oh,
in
I know.
Field
if,
and,
if it was happening during this time, you know, we had some, I would have pictures of everything. I would. Yeah.
So I know you toured internationally and across the U.S., the Lincoln Center here in the U.S., which is amazing too. But where have you worked outside of the United States?
I went to Europe. I've been to Europe several times. I had a chance to go to West Africa. Let's see. So Italy, Switzerland, the UK, and went to Ghana a couple of times. What else did I go? I think that's basically it. West Africa, Senegal, I went to Benin. I went to Edinburgh in Scotland. My husband and I, we went to, did a couple of jazz festivals, Copenhagen, things like that. So I've kind of been around.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. Well, I'm going to ask, we're going to go for a short station break in just a moment. But before we do, I wanted to ask about your technical and lighting. You're a technical and lighting director for the Mount Vernon Gifted and Talented Performing Arts Magnet School in New York. What is your role there?
This is a this was a project that was headed by a woman named Evelyn Collins. She is this was her idea to bring the arts to Mount Vernon, New York, where there was none. It began as basically a program, and then it evolved into, because of the feedback of the students that wanted to be involved, it was a school was created, an actual curriculum, and now they have their own building.
Wow.
And I was hired as a lighting designer to help her, because she has done several performances, productions a year. So I was hired as the lighting designer to do cover all the aspects of the lighting and to also have students learn, students who wanted to learn the lighting and the stuff behind the scenes, to also kind of like teach, not necessarily in the classroom type of teaching, but basically hands-on while we're on stage and showing them how to do the different things, those children or students who were interested in that. So that's what Ms. Collins, who is now the principal of the school, she has, we did The Lion King, we did The Wiz a couple of times, Dreamgirls.
Oh, I love The Wiz.
And she's done also a couple of August Wilson pieces. So, and these students are phenomenal. These kids, some of these kids are like, eighth and ninth graders, I mean, and younger, who are like kind of phenomenal, because a lot of the content is like adult content. And these kids just took it over, you know. I was really amazed at these children. So, and sometimes when I see something like that, something amazing on stage, it just gives me, it tells me I'm doing the right thing. It tells me I'm in the right place. This is why I'm here. This is why I'm doing this.
That's your purpose.
You know? Yeah.
So you're mentoring other young ladies and men, I guess. Is it mixed, men and women?
Yes, it's mixed. But, you know, I'm finding more and more women.
Really?
When I first started out, it was like I was the only one, and that was okay.
Hey, you're a trailblazer.
That was okay for a minute, but it's not like that anymore. You know, I know, especially when I traveled around the country when I was first on tour, I found a lot of places where they never saw women in my position, never saw women in the supervisor position or telling other men what to do, you know. And one story, we're in the Fox Theater in Atlanta, Georgia.
All right.
Never had
out to Atlanta.
Never, yes, never had a woman of color come in and be a crew chief to tell the crew what to do. It's a union house. They've never seen that before.
So proud of you.
And they had to tell me, you are basically the first one to do this. And
You're a Hall of Famer.
It wasn't all positive at first, you know. I hit a lot of, you know, resistance, kind of, you say. But always at the end, it was always a good experience. Always a good experience, and I hope I left a good impression. That's all I can ask for.
I think you have a book inside of you.
I do. I have several books.
You did write a book.
Yes.
Well, we're going to hold that thought. It's time now for a short station break, and when we return, we'll talk more with Tony Tynes. And if you have any questions for Tony or comments, you may call in at 347-324-5246 and press the number 1, and we'll be right back after this message.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
And we're back with lighting designer and technical director, Antoinette Tony Tynes. Tony, before the break, we talked about your early theater background and successes prior to the COVID-19 pandemic. And like so many other genres in entertainment, television, film production, how has this pandemic currently changed your industry, and especially your role at the school and in the theaters?
Boy, I tell you, this is something that I can't say that no one's ever gone through before. This is definitely a unique situation, and I know it's affected everybody basically the same way and a different way. We all are affected this way, and I know it's been traumatic for some people. I know it's been very put people in a position where they really have to think about their future, or it's like, what will they do? You know, you can only imagine if you have done this and only this, and then now you can't do it. Just like, then what will you do? You know, because I know there's a lot of people, you know, in this business who, you know, come from other things, or, you know, different backgrounds, and they might have other things to fall back on, but I know a lot of folks who don't. This is what they were born to do. This is what they were trained to do, and they can't do this. They're going to have to figure out, they're going to have to do something else, you know. And it kind of, I know it could affect your self-esteem. It could affect your, you know, definitely your finances. And a lot of people's dreams of doing, being able to do this, it's kind of like, is this really going to happen? Is this something I should just give up on? For me, it was traumatic because it was like, I'm in shock.
It is traumatic.
You know? I'm, you know, it's like having, I'm pushing a shopping cart with stuff full of my life stuff, and then someone just comes and takes it all away, and my shopping cart is rolling down the street, and I'm standing there. Now, what do I do? Do I run after it, or do I just stand there? You know, I feel like something has been taken away from me, and it's like, this is, it's unfair. I mean, I'm thinking, how dare they? But, you know, who do I blame?
Right.
It's, I know that there are people who really have to really think about what their future is like, and like me. You know, sometimes I sit up at night, what am I going to do now? Do I have to, you know, is there a plan B involved, you know?
Right.
And I know some people have other things on the side to do, but I know a lot of people who don't, you know, a lot of people who just, they would have to, you know, figure it out, you know. There are people that I know who came to New York specifically just to work on Broadway or to be in the theater who are from other places, who don't even, you know, that's the reason why they're in New York. They're from some other place. And basically, if they can't do that, why are they here? So they, I know some people who just left New York and went back home, went back to where they came from, you know, and whether or not they're going to be able to do it in the future or not. But it's like a lot of people are, you know, hanging on. I know some people who've done it long enough, they can hang on a little bit. And then there's, you know, there's a network of folks and certain people we can talk to people, we can have people that we know that have been doing this for a long time that, you know, can encourage us. And I find myself in a position where I'm encouraging other people to, you know, you know, this is what we've done, this is what we do, we'll definitely do this again, you know.
Yeah. It'll come back. It definitely will come
back. Yes, we'll definitely come back. When? I don't know, but we will.
We have a caller for you who has a question. Yeah. So, and just to add to that, what you were saying real quick is that, and you're right, it will come back again, and you're not the only one in this position. There's other people are exactly going through the same thing, and you know, Broadway, the all kinds of the performing arts. So you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but we're going to take the first caller. So if your number ends in 7957, you are on the air with Tony Chimes.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Gail, I love your show. I love what you're doing. I love what you're doing. You're doing a great job. And thank you for reaching out to the people.
And what is your name? Thank you so much for calling in.
My name is Arthur Pulley.
Arthur Pulley?
Yes.
Do you have a question for Tony?
Yes, I do. Tony, I love your work. I went to see you in Boston about Mama, I Want to Sing. And it was such a great, when you came out and he was doing the lighting or a director and he was doing so many things. You're such a talent. My advice, I wanted to ask, what is the advice you can give young adults on how to get into the industry? And also, I also wanted to ask you, there's people that are wanting to know how you got into the industry. Like, for example, was it a family member? Was it someone that that you idolized or something? Because you're such a great talent. And how can you help tell the young people how to get into this industry? Because there's a lot of people that would love to get on Broadway, even off Broadway.
Hi, Arthur. Yes. I have to give credit first to my mom, which I always do, because it was not for my mom, I can say that I wouldn't be here. She was the one who encouraged me to. She knew somebody who knew somebody else who put me in the room with the right person that got me to where I am today. I can say that, you know. So it's like almost I had a connection. So my mom knew a lady who she, I think she was, I think, in school with or in grad school or something, and she knew that she does theater. She said, call this person. So I wrote her a letter, and I called her. Next thing you know, she's telling me to call this other person. So I called this other person, and next thing you know, he's telling me to come in and talk to him. And I think I'm going in for an interview for a job, and I walk in, and he's handing me a script. Okay, now we're going to do this. So I guess apparently I got the job, and that's how it started, you know. As far as other people wanting to get in this business, it's like I can say if you really have a drive and have the if you're able, your willingness, and you love the theater, I would say go for it. Just audition or just come out. You know, participate in the theater in any capacity, and you will find your place. That's how I can tell people. Because letting people might not know what they just want to be in the room, like I say, they just want to be there and so they can witness, you know, the magic. So I would say do whatever you can, you know, volunteer. That's usually how you start. A lot of people volunteer, and then they end up being, you know, meeting the right person at the right time, you know, and they get the audition that changes their life. So I would just say volunteer, be around the theater, be around, be in the energy, and it will find you. Yes.
Okay. Another question is, did you have family or anybody that was into this entertainment field? And also, does it matter what age or how old you get to get into such a wonderful field?
I don't think that age has nothing to do with it. I don't think, because I've seen child actors that are phenomenal, and I've seen there's always a role for a particular age. And I've seen I know a lot of actors now that you see on TV started out already adults. They're already in their 40s and 50s, and this is how they started out. So there is no age limit. There's no age thing, you know. And yes, I could say there's some family members who are artists that were in the field, related field, and you know. So I guess I come from you know, good stock in that sense. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
I'm sorry, Arthur. I have a quick question for you. Are you interested in this field?
Yes, I'm writing a script, and
wow.
I'd like to get involved. A movie script. So hopefully I will be able to evolve with something like that in the near future, yes.
Well, we'll be looking out for something from Arthur Pulley.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yes. We want to encourage you in that as well. Good luck to you.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless you. And
same
thanks
to you.
For calling in. We really appreciate it. Have a blessed day.
Thank you.
Well, that was wonderful.
Yeah,
I appreciated this call. See, you're inspiring a lot of people by what you do and really how you do it as well. So it just speaks to a lot about your demeanor and your willingness to help other people comes across. So right before the caller came on, and I'm sorry I had to interrupt you, I wanted to ask you about, we were just starting to segue into remarketing ourselves and what your plan B would be. And so what has been your plan B? Because I know that you are entrepreneurial at heart and that you had two other side businesses. I want to touch on those couple of other areas of interest that you have and have you tell us about them.
Well, in my years of life, I've always had an interest with the healing arts and, you know, the wellness, health and wellness. And so I got involved with this healing art called Reiki, which is a healing art, so it's hands-on healing, and I find myself that something that I'm supposed to do. You know, one thing you find if you are supposed to do it and you find yourself doing it, you know that's why you're there. So I find myself that's another form of helping people and helping myself as well, you know, because a lot of times in the healing arts, when you're helping others, you're helping yourself as well. And so Reiki is spelled R-E-I-K-I, which means life force energy. And so you are basically channeling the universal energy and you apply it through hands-on healing like that.
Is that like reflexology?
It is different, it's similar, but it's different because you're basically dealing with energy. With reflexology, it's a different type of application. You apply it differently.
I see. So do you travel to administer this healing?
I have not traveled far, meaning like out of the country, just for that. But I have been invited to places my teacher, my master who has taught me lives in New Mexico and has often invited me there to,
wow.
She has these events. So I have not yet gone, but something that I would love to do. But yes, I would love to. And also I've been invited to Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico where they had some kind of a convention where all the healers who came. So, and I mean, I wasn't able to go at that particular time, but that's something I look forward to do when we're able to travel safely again like that. Yeah.
I'm so proud of you. How many years have you been doing that? Do you do seminars or conferences?
I have done that, yes, in the city, locally. So, and I've been doing that since, I would say, the late 90s, 96, 97, like that, in those years. Yeah, so I've been doing that for a while as well.
How can our listeners contact you to find out more about that? It's called the Lotus of Healing business. Is that correct?
My business, I call it Lotus of Healing, yes. I have a web page. I have a Reiki Facebook page, Lotus of Healing, and also on Facebook as well. It's Antoinette Tynes, Reiki Master. You can contact me through Facebook. That would probably be the fastest way because I would get that right away.
Okay. And also, are you on LinkedIn or anything?
I'm also on LinkedIn, absolutely. You're forgetting. Yes, I'm available on LinkedIn, Facebook, and I bet you if you Google me, you'll find out all kinds of stuff too. Because I know a lot of people don't know anything about me when they Google me. You see a whole wealth of a lot of things that I do. I don't even know. A lot of stuff they were telling me on. I said, oh, wow, I didn't even know that. I forgot all about that. Yeah.
So I would say, I would say to always, like, because you're an example of having a plan B all the time. So especially because you are entrepreneurial. So if you're entrepreneurial and you have a plan B, you transition pretty well, I think, from this pandemic. And this is why I wanted to have you on the show, because you're such a great example of having a backup plan.
And another thing, because I love animals. I'm an animal lover, and one of my dreams is, if I win the lottery, I'm going to buy a big house and have all the animals come and live, It's something I used to say.
Business too, is that correct?
Excuse me?
Don't you have a dog walking business as well?
Yes. This is where I was going. That one of the things is, create a hotel for rich people's dogs, and you can come stay there, And then I'm walking dogs. I am doing stuff. I had to do something. And when the pandemic first started, I knew people who were seniors who couldn't get out, couldn't get to the store. You remember that when people were running, getting toilet paper, and you couldn't find toilet paper anywhere. I find myself running around town getting toilet paper and necessities for other people who couldn't get out. And I found myself doing that, because, in this situation, you have to help other people. You just can't be for yourself, you have to help others. You have to, because we're all affected, and we have to get all through this. You just can't be just for some to get through this. Everybody has to get through this. So
my brother and sister-in-law did that exact same thing.
Yes.
They lived in a building where there was a lot of elderly or people who were just afraid to go out.
Yes.
So
I did that. When it first happened, we didn't know how safe it is. So living with my mom and my niece, I was the one. I was the one that went out. I felt like I've got my armor. I'm going out in this world. I will be back. Don't worry, And I went out and shopped for other people. I had another friend who had health issues, and the doctor told her, do not go out. Do not walk to the store. It was just too much for her. And so I went grocery shopping for her. She gave me a list, things like that I did. So, and I'm still walking dogs for, right now I have two clients that I do every day that I walk the dogs in the afternoon. And even before the pandemic, that's something that I did. I did walk the dogs in the afternoon when I could, and I usually had a show in the evening. And if I couldn't walk the dogs, then I changed my schedule around, things like that. So I try to do everything, whatever. I try to fit in everything that I can do, So I had a full day walking dogs in the morning or in the afternoon, and then coming into the city in the evening and doing a show, that was a typical day for me.
Well, I am so proud of the way you've been able to utilize your many interests, and you've turned them into additional income for you and your family, and you're such an example to show that we can overcome in uncertain times and even thrive in that. And I know that the industry will be coming back in full swing in the near future, and that you will be behind the lights again really soon. But unfortunately, as we say in the industry, Tony, that's a wrap. The hour goes so fast. And
oh, wow, yeah.
I know. I just can't thank you so much for being here today and taking the time to inspire us through your own personal journey. And this broadcast is going to help a lot of people understand that they're not alone. And like you, they can find alternative ways to thrive in uncertain times.
I want to thank you for inviting me. This has been fun for me. And
it is fun.
I just wanted to tell everybody that, you know, we have to keep hope alive.
Yes, we did. Oh, exactly.
We
yes.
have to. We know there's going to be a time when we're going to look back at this and say, wasn't that something what we just went through, you know?
Yeah.
But you will we
now
will come
outside.
Out of this better people.
That's
better
exactly people. Right.
Yes.
Well,
so
do
thank
you, mind
you for having
say-
me.
You're very welcome, and I appreciate again that you took your time to come out this morning with us. And do you mind if we say a short prayer? I always like to leave my guests with a blessing before closing
Absolutely.
Out the program. So, Lord, we thank you so much for the many gifts and talents of Toni Tynes. She has such a gracious heart, and we thank you so much for her willingness to share her personal journey to inspire and aid others in the entertainment industry through her work in theater and the performing arts education system. We ask that you continue to bless her and extend her opportunities to do the work that you created her to do through you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Antoinette Tynes is available now for your next theater project, show, or event. Perhaps you would like to learn more about her Lotus of Healing and her Reiki Master teachings and healing practice. You can email her at, I hope I don't butcher this, Shirakti?
Shirakti.
Okay, thank you. Shirokte at yahoo.com. Or simply call at 347-654-4293. That's 347-654-4293. On social media, you can follow Antoinette on Facebook and LinkedIn, respectively. The Up to Me Magazine show will be back next Saturday morning at 10 a.m., continuing our Entertainment Reimagined series for film with director Jim Ball and executive producer and actress Julie Silcott for their film, The Order of Rights. You don't want to miss out on this very important show. So mark your calendars and meet me here at the Gabby G Cafe. And on behalf of Mel D and myself and the entire cast of Up to Me Radio, this is Gabby G saying take five this week and be inspired to ask yourself about your own Up to Me journey. Then come back to share it with us, because you know what? It's your life, your journey. It's up to you. Take us out, Mel D, as we listen to our fabulous theme song again, Wake Up by Blessed Love Gospel Reggae Band.
It's up to me to be the very best I can be. And it's up to you.
Sleepless slumber, we can do this no longer. Me happy says, wake up.